Here we are. Here we go. 8:02. Good morning. Halfway home as we continue. Matt Murphy, Valerie Vining, and you. Our telephone numbers are available for you. 545-9950, 545-9950. Good friend of the show, Becky Gerritsen, will be calling in momentarily to alert us to a bill that's traveling through the Alabama legislative process with regard to potential vaccination passports or vaccination cards. Mm-hmm. I don't know a lot about the bill. She does. And so I said, well, call us and let us know. She alerted
fill
me to
in,
it.
Yeah.
And she'll fill us in momentarily. 545-9950, your telephone calls and the Birmingham Broker phone lines. Discussing the Columbus, Ohio situation involving the police officer, encounters a scene, sees a knife-wielding suspect, shoots the suspect. Yay, you saved a life. No, that's not what they're doing. They're going after the police officer for some reason. Can't figure that out. Can't figure that out.
LeBron James going after police in general. Well, started out with just the one officer, and now he's coupled them all.
You know, I just kind of ignore LeBron.
Yeah,
I know
all of that.
And I don't.
Well, there's 30 million people that follow, or 50 million people that
follow
him.
I know.
On Twitter, and let me tell you what: when you say something, even though you don't want to give LeBron power, there is power in words, and he said some pretty awful things. And again, one of the tweets taken down and replaced with one that really isn't much better. And it's a shame.
It is. It is a shame. 545-9950 is the telephone number. John is a former police officer, it says. Is that right? And he joins us now. Hey, John.
Yes, sir.
How are you, sir?
How y'all doing?
I'm doing well.
Well, first of all, I backed the blue because I'm retired. Well, I'm out of law enforcement now, but I was a deputy sheriff for 16 years in South Carolina. But in our training and everything, we were, my instructor in the academy was a fifth degree black belt taekwondo. So naturally we got beat up pretty good, but we were taught to take knives away from people and guns. But we back then in the 70s and 80s, I carried a Smith & Wesson 357 Magnum. So, but in all my years, I never pulled it. I never pulled my gun because we were taught if you pulled it, you shoot to kill, and that was it, you know, and then you had to bear the brunt of it. So naturally, I fought most of my time. So anyway, every situation is different. Now, I haven't seen the clip of that girl getting shot, but some of the clips I've seen out where these guys do use a taser. We were certified with the PR-24 and the slapjack, okay? And, I mean, I've seen some videos where, like, Richland County Sheriff's Department, them guys are great. Curtis, I love seeing him in action. But, you know, I seen one where they were trying to handcuff a guy and everything. Back in the day, and I know back then we didn't have cameras on our dash and on body cams and all that, but I could put you to sleep. We'd wake you up with the ambulance at the office and you'd be fine, take you to court and everything would be all right. So, I mean, today's world is more political and they're pushing the issue too much, but the officer could always walk away. I never wore a vest, but these officers today, they wear a vest. And all I can say is if they would go back and teach these guys close-quarter tactics like I was taught, and with those vests that they wear today, my son is a state trooper in Alabama. I live in Alabama up in section, and so he's a state trooper here. I never ask him about his training. I do laugh about him having to do his. I used to have to do 5 mile runs. He has to do 1 mile, and we joke about it a lot. But to requalify. But other than that, I don't ask him anything else. But I just tell him to be careful out there. But the way they go at it with all these cameras and everything, it's just unreal. But those things, if I was to get back into it, if I was able to, because I'm fighting cancer right now, The only thing I would require is my slab deck, PR24, and my Smith & Wesson. That's all I want.
Let me ask you this. I know John Bird, I hope you found the clip by now. If you've not, I can assist you in a break, of Deputy Police Chief Michael Woods of the Columbus Police Department, who is being asked a question during, and John, I want to ask you about this. He's being asked a question during the press conference. Remember, John, I asked you about this. I don't know if you found it or not.
I'm still looking.
Okay, I can direct you to it. John, a reporter actually asked the deputy police chief why the officer didn't shoot this woman in the arm. As a former police officer, can you help, you know, my friends on the political left understand why that's not realistic?
Yeah, I can tell you why. When I went to the police academy, I was registered sharpshooter. Okay, before I got, when you go through there, you can qualify as anything you want. But the thing of it is, if you qualify as a sharpshooter and you take a shot and you kill that person, they can actually burn you to the ground for that, because they can say, well, you could have shot him anywhere if you wanted to. But then there's that part that, what if that bullet goes through that person and ricochets and hits somebody else? So you got to go for the mass part. So even though I'm qualified as a sharpshooter, I wouldn't want to take that chance just trying to shoot something out of their hand or anything like that, because, you know, you might miss because you're excited, your adrenaline's going, and you might miss and you might hit a tree, the car, anything, and that bullet ricochets and it's going for something else, and whatever it hits, it's going to take it down, and you hit an innocent bystander. And now with these people with all these cameras, and they want to be another Don Lemon and take these pictures and film and be whatever they want to be, I mean, it's crazy. So, no. I mean, you can't do that, you know. Now, if the officer pulls up and his adrenaline's going because they're on their way, they're thinking, what could possibly happen? And then when they get there, things change. And then they got to get out and make that split decision. So,
well,
their minds going.
And what I do know, and John, thank you for the call. What I do know from police officers, some retired, others active, that when you draw your weapon, you're prepared to use deadly force. More often than not, after drawing the weapon, you don't have to use deadly force. The presence of your service weapon is enough.
Should be.
But when you do make the decision to pull the trigger, you shoot to disable the threat, to eliminate the threat.
Yes. Now, and I know, John, first of all, thank you so much for your service and your son's service. We appreciate you more than you know. And I know he said he hasn't seen the video, but if you see this video, this is an active scene. This isn't just somebody standing in the street with a knife up in the air.
Right.
This is a woman. There is an active fight going on. There are people that are coming out of a house. One girl gets thrown to the ground. A guy kicks her in the head or some part of her body. You have the woman with a knife that is actively, and there's lots of screaming. There's chaos. This woman has a knife, and she throws the other female up against the car. She is seconds from stabbing this woman. She has the knife up in the air, in a manner that appears that she is going to stab this woman with a knife. And this officer is not left with much recourse other than to pull his gun and to shoot her. And again, they ask the question, why didn't you shoot her in some other part of her body? Well, again, she's getting ready to kill another human being, to injure, maim another human being. It is this officer's duty to eliminate that threat. He has asked her to drop the weapon, drop the knife. She doesn't comply with the commands. What's left for that officer to do?
We'll play the audio for you from the press conference yesterday in just a moment, 12 minutes after the hour, reminding you that MedCenter Mazda is bringing you this portion of the show. My good friends at MedCenter Mazda, they've been good friends for over a decade now. When I first went to Mazda and I bought my wife the Mazda 6, man, oh, man, I truly understood. At the time, they were running the Zoom Zoom campaign, and I did not understand Zoom Zoom until I got behind the wheel of the Mazda 6. And since then, we've had a CX-5 twice. We've had the CX-9. Love it. We drove a Miata all the way to Key West, Florida and back. And it, believe it or not, it was a comfortable ride. But I know people are like, oh my gosh, it's a small car. It was still a comfortable ride. I love that Miata too. I love all the cars at MedCenter Mazda, and you will too. And the people are absolutely fabulous. Saw Dwayne the other day. He said hello, by the way, Valerie. He's a loyal listener to Matt and Val on Talk 99.5. He's also a Harley rider too. But that's another story for another day. MedCenterMazda.com. That's MedCenterMazda.com. We're on the road. I-65 in Pelham. I love you too.
No, for sure. This is going to be John Bird after he gets his makeover. Come on. That's him right there. Ding, ding, you. Ding. He's going to be a new man. It's going to be a new day.
Talk 99.5. Talk99.5.com.
And then he'll become
I regret agreeing to any of this John Bird makeover.
All right, never mind. We'll explain another day.
No, we'll do it. We'll do it.
Another day. There's an explanation to it, and we haven't given that yet.
All right, 545-9950, the telephone number. We've got a number of you calling in. Real quick, from yesterday, in the absence of the seriousness of the situation, one would be surprised that a police chief or a deputy police chief or an interim police chief wouldn't laugh in the face of this reporter, but this police chief doesn't. Takes the question seriously. Question and answer yesterday, Columbus Police Department press conference. And they then go on to ask about response time. But there's the meat of the question involving the arm and the leg. The reporter obviously has zero clue about police training. Mm-hmm. Okay, now you have a clue about police training. There you go. You don't get into the business when you draw your weapon of shooting to wound.
Yeah, we hear this question sometimes, and every time it gets brought up, and it caught my attention yesterday, I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. This has been explained a million times, and this reporter is asking this question. And, you know, maybe the question ought to be, should we have used a taser? I don't know that the officer had a taser. Some departments have them. Others do not. Some officers had them on there. So, you know, to say that we need to look at shooting people in the arm or the leg, and the chief kind of said it, you know, there's other people that could get harmed by this bullet that is fired. If we start trying to aim for, it just doesn't work that way. You've got to eliminate the threat. And she was a threat with a knife.
You can see the police video for yourself. The police officer gets out of his vehicle. He had been dispatched. Someone called 911 saying that they were being physically threatened with a knife. The officer takes a few steps toward the group of people in the driveway, and the 16-year-old Bryant starts swinging a knife at another girl who falls backwards. The officer shouts several times for her to get down. She does not, and then Bryant charges at another girl who is pinned against a car. The officer fired 4 shots, and the 16-year-old Bryant was dead right there. A man immediately then yells at the officer, you didn't have to shoot her. She's just a kid. The officer responds, she had a knife. She just went at her. 545. I mean, I don't know. I did have to shoot her.
Mm-hmm.
Sir.
Yeah.
Otherwise, she likely would have killed this other person.
And again, I said it earlier, if this officer doesn't eliminate that threat, that 16-year-old ends up stabbing the other woman, and you have somebody that's dead, and then you ask the officer, well, why didn't you shoot her? Why didn't you stop her? It's a no-win situation unless you understand how this works, that if you have a deadly weapon and you're going at somebody, this officer saved that person's life. Unfortunately, she decided to pick up a knife to fight rather than use her fist or, have a verbal altercation. She decided to escalate it to using a knife. And when you do that, you put police in a situation where they don't have a choice.
Jason is next up. Jason, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jason.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, pretty good, Jason. I can tell that we're probably going to spend a little more time with this than the 50 seconds that we have left. So I'll tell you what we'll do. Put you back on hold. We'll continue the conversation. We're also juggling a number of other subjects to include the possibility of gambling being voted on in Alabama in 2021, casino and lottery. We're coming up with some various organizations that can help assist either in getting it passed or getting it stopped. You know, like the Alabama Citizens for Entertainment Services.
ACES.
ACES. Huh? See what he did there?
It's always a nifty little something like that.
It's pretty good.
Back right after this as we stand by for news with Stacey Nichols, Talk 99.5. TNNF, Talk 99.5, Matt and Val. Good morning. 8:30. Thank you for being here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Whether you're in your homes, your automobiles, your places of business, we appreciate you. Carry us wherever you go on your smartphone app. Just download the app by typing in WZRR or Talk 99.5. That'll take you where you need to go. Download it and take us wherever you go.
Birmingham Broker phone lines, 205-545-9950.
Quickly, let's talk with Chris Molesky of the one and only Hometown Lenders. He's a good guy. He's got a telephone number for you, too. He's got another website for you, too. And he's got monetary savings galore.
Chris!
What's up, man?
Molesky.
Hey, I appreciate the theme music of Hot Legs. I was always known for my legs, so I appreciate y'all for my bumper music. Thank you.
You can give John Bird the credit for that. There's something going on
if
there.
If John Bird has said it once, he said it 1,000 times. That Molesky and his legs, man.
Woo. I love Molesky.
Hey, listen, we are moving into a time of the year where, and Val, you even mentioned it yesterday, we know that home buying is, people are looking to buy their homes now with spring, summer. It's when it just starts to boom. And what we've had happen, and I want to even encourage people today with it being Thursday, if you're looking to go this weekend, if you're looking, hey, we want to start shopping for that home, don't do it the wrong way like I did my first home. You start going to find a home, and then you get your financing in order, because a lot of times people can lose that home to somebody else who already has a pre-approval. That's what Hometown came up with, the true approval process, where within 48 hours, I mean, if you call today, reach out to us today, in 48 hours before this weekend, we can have your file underwritten, already approved and taken care of. So when you go find that home, you can let that buyer know, we are serious. We're basically ready to close, kind of walking into it with a big suitcase full of money. And therefore, then it makes the home buying experience what it should be, exciting, fun, adventurous, not scared of, what if we lose this home? This is the one I really want. We can make that a much better experience for you.
Well, you had me at suitcase full of money, Molesky. We begin the process by obviously going to savewith995.com, right?
Absolutely. Go to savewith995.com, click on home purchase. We'll get back in touch with you immediately, or simply call 989-7171, and we can start that process today and have you ready for the weekend.
There he is, Chris Molesky, Hometown Lenders.
Hometown Lenders, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 65084.
It's Ken's turn. Oh, wait, Ken, hold on. I almost forgot that I promised Jason he could finish up on the other side. Jason, good morning.
I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Doing well. What's on your mind?
I just kind of wanted to add a little bit to your previous caller, considering he's a law enforcement officer, and I appreciate his call into service for 16 years. I'm currently still a police officer, been doing it about 10 years, did a little bit in the jail, then went to the streets, night shift most of the time. Currently an FTO field training officer. I've done Taekwondo, got a blue belt, did that a long time ago, done the jiu-jitsu thing, knife fighting, stick fighting, all the self-defense stuff, I've done it. Considering he did not see the video, I want to make sure, you know, your listeners understand that that situation was not a situation where you would try to take that knife from that individual.
That's correct.
Not. I agree with you know, your outlook on it is 100% correct. The officer did the right thing. I've been in a situation where the time called for taking a knife from somebody, completely different. This was not that, just so everybody understands that.
Yeah, this person, you know, and the officer doesn't know, I mean, how old the person is, and it doesn't really matter at that point. That person is wielding a weapon that could kill another and is aggressively going after that other person. They've been repeatedly told to stop, to stand down, to get down. They do not do so. The officer has a decision to make. And the amazing thing, Jason, is the officer made the right decision, and somehow this has been turned around by the mainstream media as to, oh, it's another tragedy in Columbus and all of this nonsense. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
It's 100% sad, and unfortunately, when we have a president that talks about, you know, why didn't the officer shoot him in the leg? I believe he made that statement a while ago. That just breeds the ignorance when somebody at that high level says something like that with his ignorance, and it's sad.
Well, I appreciate your service. We can't say it enough how much we value you and your fellow men and women in uniform. Thank you.
I appreciate it. You guys have a good day.
Thank you, Jason. You too.
Jason, yeah, currently on the police force.
We support you, Jason. John, we support what you did in the past in law enforcement, and we can't thank you guys enough, men and women in blue, because this is getting to be a tougher and tougher occupation, and the mainstream media is not making it any easier. Our current president isn't making it any easier, and there are mayors across this country that aren't making it any easier.
Mayor right here in Alabama, not making it any easier. I mean, Randall Woodfin,
making the job tougher.
Randall Woodfin, instead, you know what Randall Woodfin should have done? Let me tell you. Randall Woodfin should have stood up in front of the citizens of Birmingham and said, you know, I understand that we have a lot of controversial issues going on. This is what I would have said, okay? I'm mayor of Birmingham. You ready? Citizens, I understand that we have had a lot of controversial issues involving police around the United States of America. Some of the images that we're seeing from other parts of the country are at least disturbing and at worst criminal on the part of some of these police officers. I want to say a few things. One, know this. The vast majority of the police officers, not only with the Birmingham Police Department, but around the country, are good, hardworking people that have the interest of the community that they serve first and foremost in their minds. They have an incredibly dangerous job, and we support each and every one of them. I am thankful, as mayor of Birmingham, that we don't see some of the issues that other communities have seen. We have learned in this community from our past. Unfortunately, Birmingham was home to abuse at the hands of police in years past. We've cleaned that up, and I can tell you that I have every confidence that the city of Birmingham and its police department has the interest of our citizens in mind when they go out in their patrol cars on foot and they patrol the 99 neighborhoods in this city. I want to thank Patrick Smith, our police chief. I want to thank every single one of our captains. I want to thank every single one of our sergeants. I want to thank every single one of the police officers that work for the BPD. We will continue to serve you with honor, dignity, and respect. Thank you.
That would be leadership.
That's a mayor.
Yes, that would be
leadership.
That is what Mayor Woodfin, I believe, and I think many, especially many in law enforcement, would say, you know, we really appreciate your support. Instead of once again putting together a committee or a group that points the finger at the problem with what's going on in some of the communities in Birmingham, the homicide rates, the shootings, they're blaming the police instead of, hey, community, we need you guys to step up. And I understand you have an election coming up, Mayor Woodfin, and I understand why this committee was put together. But you know, let me just tell you right now, with what's going on around the country, the men and women in blue, Jefferson County, Shelby, all of these communities in law enforcement need the support of us, all of us.
You know what it was to me? It was Randall Woodfin saying, we don't have a problem in the city of Birmingham, but we'll find one. That's what he said. Our police department doesn't have any problems, but we'll find one. We'll figure out a way to blame the cops on something. By God, if they won't do it, we'll do it for them. I mean, that it's ridiculous. Ken is in Alabaster. Hello, Ken.
Hi,
good morning.
Ken.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing well. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you so much for taking my call. I think it's the first time I've called without being by your side. But anyway, a question I have for you. A lot of listening and learning. And I was wondering, is there a national standard for testing by which all law enforcement, police officers, state troopers, deputy sheriffs all go through? Or is it all the standards set by each municipality, county, or state? Or do you know?
I do not believe that there is a national police standard in any way. There's no national minimum standard for police officers in the U.S.
Yes, sir. Well, I understand our FBI, you know, they go to Quantico, if I'm not mistaken, and they have training for their specialty and service. But would that be helpful to have a national standard by which, you know, we're all on the same page? There's no ambiguity as far as whether this was appropriate or not in force.
I think there's a great danger in nationalizing police standards, because the next step to that is nationalizing the police.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking out loud. I think there's probably a lot of common factors. I'm a pastor of a church, and for 5 years I was chaplain with one of our city police departments, and I was a member of the International Conference of Police Chaplains, and we met annually around the country. And I know there's a lot of common things that they share, but I was just wondering specifically, you know, if there were if a national
I just looked it up because I couldn't remember the acronym. We've been talking a lot about acronyms this morning, but it's the International Association of Directors of Law Enforcement Standards and Training, which is a cooperative association of leadership with various state police certification and licensing programs. So this organization has published what they call the Model Minimum State Standards, and almost every state in the nation has taken these up. So the standards are almost the same universally for police around the country, but we allow state to state for these various states to determine how they're going to standardize police training in their individual states.
Yes, sir. I think Alabama has what they call it APOST or something, which most law enforcement had to go through and pass their training exercises.
POST is the police officer standard testing or standards in testing, right? Yeah. Or
yes,
training.
Sir, I think so, yes. Sir.
Yeah, yeah. So, yes, yeah, I mean, I guess to answer your question, I think there are some that are calling for the nationalization of the police. And
yes, sir.
I don't see a need for that.
I just see a danger in that. But I think, you know, having the same laws or the same, and I'd say laws, but same practice, sort of like our military, I guess, and way they handle situations, wherever you're, which branch of the military you're in, I mean, you basically go through the same training as far as know how to make entry and how to surveil, you know, around, you know, to see if there's any danger or whatever. So that was just my question.
Well, we'll throw it out there on the table and see who wants to pick it up and roll with it. Thank you for the call, Ken.
Good call, Ken. We appreciate it. And good question. You know?
I mean, yeah. I mean, you expect that there's going to be a fair amount of uniformity. I look at it kind of like education.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain level of expectation in the modern world.
Sure.
That if you move from community to community, that the standards are going to be essentially the same.
Mm-hmm. But communities are a little bit different,
so you structure
it around that community.
That's right. 545-9950, 42 after the hour. Do not forget about buckets away waterproofing, especially if you smell mold or mildew in your house. You know the smell. You know it. Moldy, mildewy smell, and it's in the basement. You hate going down there. You can't use the space because it's moldy or it's mildewy. What about using that space? What about building out? What about buckets away waterproofing? First, they can help encapsulate that home. You know, it used to be that they drew air across. Randy and Brandon taught me this. That the methods were to draw air across that space to keep it aired out and to keep the mold and mildew away. Now they recognize that they can keep the moisture out by what is called encapsulation. Ask them about it when you make the call to Buckets Away that so many others have made. Free estimates. 222-6443. 222-6443. It is Talk 99.5. We will not lie to you. Joe Biden says, no 4th of July, no Independence Day, no more freedom for you.
Right.
If you don't get this vaccination deal handled.
How many of you been barbecuing with your family and friends in the backyard? Like, how long has that been going on? I think for many, it's been months.
Oh, yeah.
and months.
For many, it never stopped.
Right. And for others, it just stopped. Right. You know what, Joe Biden, I don't need you to tell me that the 4th of July, whether I'll be getting together with my family in the backyard or out at the lake.
I want to revisit something we talked about the other day. We're trying to bring it back on Matt and Val.
Right.
Joe Biden.
You did do that.
Mm-hmm. That's to you, buddy. Hey, Mr. President.
Oh.
I'm going to have my hot dogs and my hamburgers or my Boston butt or my ribs or my whatever. Mm-hmm. And you can go pound sand, right, buddy.
And I'll do that with about 100 of my closest relatives and friends.
Grandpa Joe.
Shuffling around.
I mean, he's Grandpa Joe.
Come on.
He's Grandpa Joe in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, laying in bed.
Oh, I like Grandpa. Now don't mess that up for me. No. You cannot. Please don't put those two things together, because I like Grandpa Joe from Willy Wonka. That's a different Joe.
I don't know about old Grandpa Joe. He was ready.
He was dancing.
He was ready to sell the everlasting gobstopper to Slugworth.
He was not going to do that.
He was,
Grandpa,
too.
Grandpa would not do that.
He was mad as hell.
Yeah, well, I'd be mad, too.
Go through all of that. And,
right. His grandson through
they
that.
They stole fizzy lifting drinks.
Well, okay. They made one mistake.
That's true.
He forgave him.
It's not like.
I knew Charlie would. I mean, come on.
Oh, that's a great. That's one of my all-time top 10 favorite scenes. That silence.
Mm.
When
is
he walked.
Golden.
It's perfect. Whenever you get nothing, you lose. And then
good
just
day.
Silence.
Good day, sir.
And he walks over, and the clock's ticking in the background. And he says, Mr. Wonka.
Mm. Lays down the everlasting gobstopper. What a good, kind soul.
So shines a good deed in a weary world.
That needs to be like up here in the studio somewhere. That's an awesome. Between that and a couple of things that were said in the film Lion. Secondhand Lions. Secondhand Lions? Yes, I think that's
Secondhand
it.
Lions?
Secondhand
I've
Lions?
Been sold I need to see that film.
I'm not telling
not
you
need,
to see.
Not, okay,
I am not telling
that
you
I would
to
enjoy.
See any,
I've been told I would enjoy.
There is great life lessons in that. I made.
All right, there's Robert.
I made.
Robert Duvall.
Yes.
Michael Caine.
Yes. There are wonderful
old
life
coots.
Wonderful.
They
on
get
a
the
farm.
Grandkid.
Yes.
Right? Then they get a lion or something.
No.
They get a lion secondhand. Don't they? I thought they got a lion. I think I'm right.
I haven't
right?
seen
there's
this
a
in a long time.
That's the name of the movie.
That's a different movie, I think.
You don't know.
I do. I love that movie. The convenience store scene. I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah,
but
don't give it away, John Ooh. Bird.
Oh, and the punks come in? Uh-huh. Y'all
it
thought I hadn't
is,
seen the
it
movie.
Is, it's serious.
Uh-huh. Y'all
you
thought I hadn't
it.
Seen the movie.
No.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't going to tell you to see it if you hadn't. I will never do that again.
I haven't.
I won't.
I haven't.
I'll be like, it is a horrible movie. You should never see it, Matt Murphy. And that afternoon, he'll be.
I know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I can see right
can,
through
can
you.
Can you?
Mm-hmm. Can
you? Can you see? Gosh,
is it Friday? It's your Friday already. Hey, Scoobs, what's going on, buddy?
I need some Scoob. Thank
as,
you.
As normal, John Bird right on top of that audio. The master of the delay.
And
John
he knew
Bird.
It was coming because I heard him. He was practicing. It was already in there.
I know.
And still didn't hit the post.
You
hey,
know,
what's
you know,
up, Scoobs?
I started to just ignore your call because it says, and I quote, you know, it's got your name there, Scoobs, and it says, "Sexy tip for John."
Oh, here they come now. The sexy tips are coming.
I don't know about all of this.
Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that.
What's that word, Val? Sex appeal.
Sex appeal. Yes, Matt doesn't like that. He has. I want him to have more sex appeal.
I like sex appeal. What?
You said you didn't want me to say sex appeal anymore.
Not in reference to John.
Oh. So it's okay to say it, just not. Don't include John.
You need to be talking about me.
See what's going on here, Scoob. Help me out.
I had a slight comment for him, and then I had a question for you guys about the current situation and the hell that we're all facing these days. But you know, I know everybody's seen the movie The Big Lebowski, right?
I certainly have. One of my faves.
All right. Have you seen the movie Blown between Jeff Bridges and Tommy Lee Jones back in the day when he was like a bomb detective? Have you seen that?
I have not.
Okay. I encourage you to go look at the movie Blown and then look at where Jeff Bridges was after that. We have taken The Big Lebowski for John Bird and put him in the Blown perspective. He's kind of come back on status. So the whole –
the whole tip is, why can't we do like an auction, you know, auction him off? You know, you guys are always doing fundraisers, right? Auction him off, cheat day cheeseburger with the Birdman.
Cheat day cheeseburger with the Birdman.
Yeah.
It's a mouthful, I'll give you that.
All money's go to, you know what I'm saying? All money's go to a good cause. Cheat day cheeseburger.
I kind of like the Scoops. Mm-hmm. I think I like your idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just random radio listeners can
have a cheat.
John, haven't you done that before and it ended poorly?
Oh, it did.
Remember
it
that lunch?
That was a long time ago, and it was for charity.
And we warned you about it. I warned you. I said, I don't think you want to do this. Yeah, I was right. Mama was right.
Yeah, well, you know, Bird, you do you. You're a new man, buddy.
The most important part of this phone call is we've talked about it the other day, and I don't know the back history on what's going on with that house, the shooting, and the crowd that was there, but there were other people there, and I'm assuming a couple of them were adults, and it's always, well, why did you have to shoot? Why did you have to shoot? There's plenty of other people there that could have stopped that situation, and the reason why they didn't stop that situation is they didn't want to lose their damn life. And the authority figure with the weapon that could solve the situation solved it. And I'm sick of excuses, and I'm sick of the pity, and it's always on the other foot. There were people there that could have stepped in. Was it a parent's house? Was it a relative's house? Why hasn't anybody been charged in the household? Back in the day, I had a friend. His family had a party. The parent got arrested. When are we going to start holding other people accountable but the damn police? When is that going to happen?
Well, I asked a question earlier. When are we going to hold her parents accountable for her lack of ability to control herself to the point that she was attacking another person with a knife? Turns out she was in foster care.
I wonder what would have happened had she had access to a gun.
Or a good education.
Well, there's another good question too, Matt Murphy.
One more hour to go, Matt and Val.